thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This weekend, we're beginning a series of messages on the subject of hope when life hurts. Hope when life hurts. So for the next this weekend and three more weekends, we're going to approach this subject. Several months back, when we got together and we were discussing what we felt that maybe God was put on our hearts concerning messages, and we always, you know, we're asking the Lord messages that are not just have great titles or messages that we think are good. Lord, truly, what is on your heart? And that's how we approach these messages. We go over it, we approach it 1 week, and then the next week come back and we define it in a greater way. And we believe that this message is needed for this time. Hope when life hurts. So I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and that's where we're going to begin with this. Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. Now let me kind of set it up. Where we are in the life of Jesus. It's toward the end of his ministry, and he is about to go to the cross and suffer and die, and then the resurrection will take place. And he's with his disciples, and Peter is with him. Now, Peter has been a close associate. He's been a friend of Jesus. He has a lot of zeal. There's things burning in his heart that he wants to do for God and for the kingdom. Even so much so, he gets out a little ahead of God, and yet God brings him back. And so he's addressing Peter at this particular time. And I want you to follow along with me as I read verse 31 now, Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, great mystery. He has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. Or if I put it in my turn, he wants to eat your lunch. He wants to tear you apart. That's what Satan wants to do. But notice here, I have prayed for you. I want to stop there just a moment. I want us to get this. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. For 3+ years, Peter's been with Jesus. So they're on this journey as they walk through the nation of Israel from north, south, east, and west, Jesus teaching and preaching and ministering to them on a personal way. And all through that time, there'll be times, what I get out of this, he said, I have prayed for you, that all of a sudden, maybe in the quietness of his own thoughts, Jesus now walking along, maybe Peter trailing, talking to one of the other disciples, Jesus begins to think about Peter, and he goes to the Father. He said, Father, I'm just praying for Peter. I'm just praying for Peter. And what was he praying for? I believe that Jesus knew, you know, Peter's got a great call on his life, Father. And I don't know what the exact words were, but I'm trying to think this through. He's got a call on his life. He's got a lot of zeal. Got a lot of things that will benefit the kingdom of God. And I'm praying for him. So it wasn't when Peter was going to, in the midst of the difficulty, Jesus has already been praying for him. Now, I want you to get this. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. So Jesus just doesn't pray for us and intercede for us when we're in the midst of a hurt, in the midst of a wound or a disappointment or discouragement or a challenge, a mountain of just difficulties. He doesn't wait for us to get there. Along the journey, Jesus is praying for us. Now, you got to get this. Turn to someone and say, did you get this yet? Okay, I'll say it again. Really, because this was a revelation to my own heart that as I walk, as I serve him, Jesus is praying for me. He might be saying about you, he said, listen, I'm praying for Tom, I'm praying for Ellen, I'm praying for Rhoda, and I'm just praying, God, that, Lord, and look what he says here. Notice what it says. He said, I pray for you that your faith should not fail. In other words, when Satan comes to take advantage of you, when Satan comes in like a flood and your troubles are overwhelming, and you feel so hurt and so wounded and so disappointed, so discouraged with life, and the enemy is just right there. He knows you're vulnerable, and he's attacking. He's trying to sift you like wheat. He said, I've been praying that when you face that, that your faith doesn't fail, that you remain strong in your faith. And that's what he says to him. He says that your faith doesn't fail. And when you have returned to me, what I got out of this is Jesus is saying, he said, listen, at moments like that, you know what happens at moments like that? We tend to take our eyes a little bit off Jesus because we're just so caught up in the moment. We're caught up with the difficulty. It's kind of like the story of those that were in the boat and the storm came. They were looking at the storm. They weren't looking to Jesus who was in the boat with them. Even Peter, when he stepped out on the water, what caused him to sink is he got his eyes off Jesus. He began to look at the wind and the rain and the waves, and then he began to sink. And sometimes we get our eyes off of. He said, when you return to me, in other words, when you turn back to me, he said, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to touch you so that you can go on and strengthen your brethren. So that's what we have in this story about Peter and how Jesus was ministering to him. Every one of us have suffered in one way or another, through hurts, through disappointments, wounds, discouragements have come our way, challenges have come our way that would kill if you're not healed. See, wounds can kill if they're not healed. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil does not fight fair. How many know that? He doesn't fight fair. He won't give up. If you allow him, he will torment you over and over and over again. He will bring that hurt. He'll bring that wound. He'll bring that disappointment. He'll bring that discouragement, and he'll throw it in your face continually. If you allow him, that's what he'll do. He has every intention for you, for that wound, to eventually kill you. He doesn't want you to be healed. There are physical hurts, there are emotional hurts, there are relational hurts. Some of them are self-inflicted. We bring them upon ourselves. Some infliction comes from circumstances, just life itself. Some come from other people in our lives, even the closest, the family members. But I guarantee that in each and every one of them, there's an enemy that comes to use that against you. He wants you to hang on to that wound. He wants you to hang on to that hurt. He doesn't want you to give up that discouragement. In the earlier service, as we prayed for people for healing, there was two individuals that came up that really touched me. There was one individual that, a nice lady, and she was holding on. She was bitter and angry at God because her mother had died 4 years ago. And this woman was in her 50s, and she was bitter at God, and she was hanging on to it, and she couldn't do it. Another young lady just says she was hurt by the church. It can come from the church. And she realized that she just was hanging on, and she was comfortable just where she was at. She didn't want to make any more efforts. In other words, I've made efforts to come out, but I don't want to do it anymore. But I know it's draining me of my life. And that's what it'll do to all of us. In all, the enemy will take advantage. He doesn't want us healed, but, Jesus does. Jesus wants us healed. Now, if I were to ask the question, how many of you have seen a miracle? And I won't answer that. I said this earlier. When we think of miracle, we think of something that's visible. It's something that, like, blinded eyes are open. That's a miracle. Someone gets out of a wheelchair and walks across the stage, and wow, that is a miracle. And they are miracles, and God does those kind of miracles. But last weekend, as we had a gathering, how many know last weekend was just a blast? It was just, to God be the glory for the, yeah, let's give him praise for that. I couldn't think of any more that God could have done for us last weekend, but he did it for us. I looked across this room, it was packed. Thousands of people were here. And as I looked across, what I saw on the faces, and I was looking because there are a lot of people that I see from week to week, but there are a lot of people I hadn't seen in years, some of them 30 years. They had come back to visit us. And as I looked into their faces, here's what I saw, and I reflected on it this week as I prepared this message. I saw thousands of miracles. Those who faced fierce wounds of adversity. There were those that were here that I know have been in the fires of affliction. There were others that came across mountains of overwhelming odds in their lives. I saw some that were here that the unimaginable loss of loved ones, and I know that lost loved ones prematurely, you would say. Breakups of what was to be lifelong relationship, I saw them here. People who have been wounded, hurt, devastated. But guess what? They're still here. That's what amazed me. They were still here. Not only were they still here after all those years and after all those things that happened in their life, those miracles that they were still here, they were still praising God. They were still worshiping God. They were still grateful for life itself. That is a miracle. And that's the kind of miracle that God wants to happen today in your life. The enemy wants your wounds and your disappointments and your hurts to kill you. No doubt, to kill your hopes, to rob you of your worship, to steal your joy, steal your dreams, to break up your marriage, to break up your family. I mean, that's his intention. You got to know, it's a real enemy. Jesus said he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to destroy you, Peter. He wants to keep you from being all that I've called you to be. You've got a great calling on your life. You've got tremendous zeal for God. God's going to turn that zeal. He's going to use it for the kingdom. But there's going to be an enemy. He's going to try to steal that purpose from your life. We have the same enemy. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There's a God of hope. Jesus said to Peter, Satan asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, and Jesus prays for each and every believer in here. He prays for you that when you face these things, that your faith doesn't fail. He's already prayed for you. He will be there in that time. When you are healed of your wounds, you know what he said to Peter? He said, I'm going to open up opportunities for you to help others. Hold on to that. When you're healed of your wounds, Peter, when you turn to me, I'm going to give you opportunity. You're going to go and strengthen your brethren. You see, your wounds can be healed. You can be restored. There is a restoration. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, and this is a familiar verse to a lot of us. It speaks about Jesus now, hundreds of years before he was born or suffered on the cross. But he, meaning Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. How many have heard that verse before, or at least read it? He was wounded for us. Now follow this. There are many in this room, and I've said it, that have been wounded. You have been wounded. You have been wounded by divorce. You have been wounded by maybe a bankruptcy. You felt like everything was just taken from you. Maybe it was a layoff, a job that you expected to have and to bring security to your family, and all of a sudden you don't have it any longer. It was a hurt. It was a wound. It was a disappointment. Maybe it was an unfaithful spouse, untimely death of a loved one, or only seeing your kids every other weekend, or not seeing your kids at all. That's a hurt. A spouse that says to you one day, I don't love you anymore. A betrayal of a close friend or a family member, an addiction you're caught in. Maybe you've been hurt by the church, as I mentioned. Maybe you've been hurt by this church. Maybe I've hurt you. It can happen. It comes in many different ways. It comes suddenly, unannounced, and it just happens. Life. Maybe it's trouble with your kids. Maybe they're off and doing their own thing, and it breaks your heart, and over again, that wound is opened up. Maybe it was violence that has happened in your life. And we have wounds that seem like they can't be healed. If I be honest with you, you just have come to a place and said, I just can't believe for this thing to be healed. It's been with me. The situation's never going to change. I don't have any faith for it to change. I can't believe for change. I can't believe for this healing. And there are many sitting here right now that you have settled in somewhere, and that wound is there. And you don't know it, but it's festering. There's a danger of not being healed. You see, there's not an option. There's a danger. The option, there's no option. You must be healed. Because the danger is this. You begin to lose that wonder of God. It's that awe of God. That when you first realize that Jesus Christ loved you and he died for you and you receive him as your Savior, there's an awe. There's that void that's filled. There's like the floodgates were open and the glory and the presence of God entered your life and you are just in awe of this love that you're experiencing and that God would do this for you. And had a plan. There's that awe and wonder of God, and yet a hurt or a wound can rob you of that. It can rob you of your worship. It hinders the way you really want to worship. You go through the ritual of worship. You go through, you sing the songs, but it's not really ministering to you, and it's not ministering to the Lord as it should. It robs you of your witness. Whereas you can't go and you can't tell someone else, you know, Jesus is the answer, because you don't see him as your answer. You're not believing. You're not walking in the faith of being healed. And this thing hinders you from being a total witness. So you don't witness. You don't tell people about God's love. Because you have lost the sense of his love. And it robs you of the power to do war against the enemy. And because he robs you of that power, you can't put on your armor any longer. I mean, you can't get it on. You know you're supposed to, but you can't get it on. You can't pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's just too heavy for you to do it. The load is too heavy in your life. And it's all because of hurts, wounds, disappointments, discouragements that settled in, something that you've adopted into your life. Listen, unattended wounds are dangerous. The smallest of wounds are dangerous. A splinter not attended to can turn into an infection. The smallest of wounds can be infected, and that infection then, not only is it concentrated in one area, if you don't get hold of it, sometimes that infection can move through your body and begin to affect other organs. And then it gets to the vital organs that rob you of your life. And spiritually speaking, it'll do the same thing. Unattended wounds. Now listen to this. Because as believers, we become part of the body of Christ. You know what happens? Unattended wounds, unhealed wounds in people begin to affect body members. Because hurt people hurt people. Wounded people wound people. Wounded and hurt people live in the past. They become bitter. That bitterness is contagious to people around. So we then are working against one another, and that's why you have so many disputes and conflicts. It's because people carry wounds they're not taken to the cross and being healed over, and discouragements that they carry. It happens. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to reintroduce you to the wonder that you had of his presence and of his glory. He wants to reintroduce you to worship that is free without any hesitation or reservation. You're able to worship God. He wants to reintroduce you to the value of witnessing and sharing your faith with others and sharing about the love of God. And he certainly wants you to reintroduce you to the power to fight against Satan. So you can put on the armor of God. You can be ready for the enemy. You can pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can wield that sword with all confidence that you're going to see victory in your life. That's why we need healing today. That's why you need healing today to be what God wants you to be. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to be healed. He wants to kill you. His objective, his ultimate objective, is to use any hurt, any wound, any disappointment, any discouragement, any letdown in life that has come to you that you are carrying. He wants to use that to kill you off. That's his objective. But you know what the latter part of that verse is? He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life. He came to give life abundantly. Jesus wants you to have life. He wants you to live free of these hurts, free of these wounds, free of these things that are hindering you. He wants you to be free. Life, life more abundantly. So it flows through you to others around you. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 30. Look at this verse. It says, moreover, get this, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold. Say sevenfold. Seven times. As the light of 7 days. When? In the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. You see, what that verse is telling me is this is God's will for you today. Today, he wants to heal your bruises. He wants to heal those wounds so that your night is going to turn into day. There won't be the darkness of walking at night. There'll be the light, and that your light will be 7 times brighter than it was before. So after God heals you, look at what happens. Your night turns into day, and your day gets 7 times brighter than it was before. In other words, he wants you to be better off after you are healed than when you went into the hurt. We are more than conquerors through Jesus that loved us. That means that when we conquer, when we allow Jesus to heal us, we're going to be better off as we come through whatever we're gone into, and that's what God wants, shining brighter than ever. So whatever has happened to you, whatever's come your way to bring that wound, to inflict that wound, whatever disappointment, whatever someone has said about you or incident or circumstance happened to you, listen, don't look at it as something to hold you back. Look at it as something that if you'll be an overcomer, if you'll give it to God, if you let him heal you, you'll be better off after. It's not going to stop you. It's going to push you forward. You're going to be a better person. You're going to shine better. You're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better witness. You're going to be a better worshiper. And get this, you're going to be a warrior for Christ. You're going to be able to stand up and wield that sword against the enemy. Put him in his place. He'll be sorry he ever did it to you. Jesus received deadly wounds at Calvary. When those nails went into his hand, and that nail went into this hand, and the devil laughing in the background. When those nail went into his feet, when that spear went into his side, the devil thinking that did it. He's going to be dead soon. Every wound, every hurt, he said, it's to not only just inflict it, it's to kill you. And the devil stood there, and he laughed when Jesus died. He said, I did it. Those wounds and those hurts killed them. But, in 3 days, Jesus rose. In 3 days, Jesus rose. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and made it good. If the enemy, the Bible tells us this, it says that if he would have really had an understanding, a revelation of what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Son of God. And that's what it was. He did not see what victory would come out of what seemingly was defeat. You see, the devil doesn't see what victory is going to come out of your life. He meant it for defeat in you. He meant it to steal your purpose, to steal your plan, to steal your life, to break up your marriage, to kill off your family. And what he meant for evil, if you'll come and get healed from God, God can turn it around and you'll be better off. He doesn't know that. See, he doesn't have that full revelation. He doesn't know all that God's doing. He doesn't know how God can work out the bad and make it good in your life. God doesn't say everything's good in your life, but he can turn everything and make it good in your life. He has an amazing way of doing that, and he can do it for you today. Jesus received deadly wounds. what the enemy meant for evil. And the result of Jesus being raised from the dead, conquering the enemy, coming, it was God. It says the power of God raised him from the dead. You know what the result was? We're here today. There are people gathered across this nation, around the world. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing just like the tree, the mustard seed, and thousands and millions of people have been saved, delivered from the power of the enemy, translated in the kingdom of God. They're no longer under the strain and the shame of sin, but they've been set free to worship the one God that he hates. That's what Jesus accomplished. Think of what God can do through your life once you're healed. God wants to do that. God wants to do that. The enemy knows if he can keep you wounded, he can steal your purpose. He can steal your plan. Healing is a must. Say it with me. Healing is a must. Today could be your healing. Your night will become like day. Your day will be 7 times brighter than it's ever been before if you let God heal your wound. Now listen to this. When Jesus rose from the grave, he was healed, but the scars were still there. The nail prints were still in his hand. The nail prints were in his feet. The wound was in his side. They were still there. So he was healed, but the scars were still there. Months back, as we were looking at this message, in my research on the message, I don't know how I came across it. I don't know how I really got to this. Well, I do. God led me to this. I began to research, and I found something. And it had something to do with pottery. Clay jars made into pottery. Cups that you drink from. Bowls that you serve food from. And it goes back to the late 15th century when there was this Japanese family that had a china bowl. And it was something probably expensive. It was a piece of pottery, but today you have china cloths, you have china, and they're precious to you, something special. You pull them out, special occasion. Maybe it was something that was handed down. Maybe it was something that was in your hope chest that you had after you were married. And that china is there on display. So that's the way this pottery was. It was special for them at the time. And some of it was very nice. So when a piece would break, they were kind of like, wow, I broke that piece. Today, what you do is you get on the internet and you order another one, and it comes. They didn't have it in those days. So how, oh, wow, that was so valuable to me. What can I do? So this Japanese man decided to find out, what can I do to repair this piece of pottery? So the first pieces came back, and they were stapled together and looked pretty ugly until he got them, demanded that they do a better job. And what they came up with was something that you're probably seeing right now. And there's a word for it. It's kintsugi. It's a Japanese term. And what it was is they take the piece that was broken, whatever it might be, a plate or a bowl, and what they would do is they take some lacquer and they put gold dust in the lacquer or silver dust or some other precious thing in the lacquer so that when they actually fixed it, it stood out. It stood out, but what happened is that people begin to look at it and say, that is unique. That is very special. And guess what? These pieces then became more valuable than they were before they were broken. So people used to brag on, put on display in their china closet, pieces of pottery that have been repaired. How many are getting this right now? Are you getting it? I don't have to say much about it, but they would put it on display, and now it became more valuable. I've actually seen a piece like this in an antique, and I know of this piece. So rather than throw it aside and just discard it altogether, they would fix it in a way where the scars are seen, but it's not something that you want to hide. It's something you want to put out front on your china closet. Scars mean this is what I overcame. This is how bad it was. But it doesn't matter how bad it was. This is what I look like now because God has healed me. I'm not ashamed of my scars. Matter of fact, I'm not ashamed of them. I want to brag about them because when I brag about them, I'm bragging about the power of God to heal a broken heart. I'm bragging about a God who so cares for me. Although I was broken by this world and by sin and by self-inflicted wounds, Jesus, my God, lifted me up. Yeah, and he took some lacquer, his blood, the blood of Jesus, and fine gold, thinking not strange the fiery trial of your faith is so some strange thing happened, but you're being refined. Your faith is being refined. You're going to be better off at the end than you were in the beginning. That's what God's doing. It wants to do in your life. Get this. Scars are a testimony of God's ability to heal deadly wounds. Your scars are a testimony of the ability to heal deadly wounds. It's a testimony. You don't have to hide your scars. You don't have to be ashamed of your scars. You don't have to be ashamed of that hurt that came your way or disappointment or that brokenness in your life. After Jesus heals it, it's something you want to put before the world. It's something you want to put before your neighbor. It's someone you want to put before your brother or your sister or someone on the job and say, listen, here's where I was. I was just a piece of pottery broken, laying on the floor. God came along and he just didn't staple me back together. It's not an ugly thing that he did in my life, but it looks like this right now. I have life. I have abundant life. I am free. I'm no longer bound. I have purpose. I have plan. So I'm bragging about my scars when I'm really bragging about what God did in my life. It's my testimony. And it's your testimony. John chapter 20, in verse 27, we had one of the disciples whose name was Thomas. And Thomas was a follower of Jesus, but he saw Jesus die. He saw him buried. He was in the grave. He had lost all hope. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. He thought he was the Messiah. All those promises that Jesus made. So doubting Thomas, as they call him, he was just doubting. He was hiding away in a room. Jesus saw his doubts. He saw his confusion. He saw his disappointments. He saw how he was hurt. He didn't say, well, you blew it. I'll just choose someone else. No, he went into that room, and here's what he said. He said, Thomas, he said, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. He said, I want you to see my scars. And this is a greater testimony. It wasn't just the words that I spoke to you of hope and a kingdom to come and that you would be part of the kingdom, but I was talking to you about the power and the love of a God in heaven. I was talking about someone who come and he can raise someone from the dead, because you're gonna have to know this God, Thomas. You're going to have to know the God that can heal you. You might have the wounds. Here are my wounds, but touch my wounds and you be healed. You believe. You see for yourself what it can happen. In Zechariah chapter 13, it tells us about the end of time when Jesus comes back to the earth. And when he comes back to the Mount of Olives, it says that they looked upon him whom they have pierced. Get it? The Jewish people will look upon him whom they have pierced. They will see the scars. They will see the scars at his feet and his hand and his side. And they'll know. He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. They will know at that time. How will they know? Because he's alive. The scars didn't kill him. The wounds didn't kill him. But the wounds are there to say, listen, my God is powerful. And they will believe. Someone might have to put their hand on your scar to have faith. If God can heal you, he can heal me. If God did that for you, he'll do it for me. It's your testimony. Devil, you tried your best to destroy me. You came to me, you tried to eat my lunch. You tried to sift me like wheat. You tried to torment me. You came to my family. You tried to do this. You tried to do that. You tried to do this. But I'll tell you, the God that I serve is greater than you, and he raised me up. He saw me through that. I'm putting it back in your face. I might have the scars of that, but those scars are a sign that I have a God in heaven that can heal deadly wounds. He can defeat you. That is my testimony. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue, every accusation against you will be cast down. Why? Because you have a God in heaven that lives as your intercessor. You have a God in heaven that doesn't wait for you to get in the problem. He's already praying for you. He's praying that your faith doesn't fail. He knows you're going to face these difficulties in this world, but he's there to heal you and raise you up and make you better than you've ever been before. Scars are just a testimony of the journey. And you might have a whole lot of scars. I've got two scars of dumb things I did in my life when I was young. I got one on my wrist, and I got one on my finger. And you know, every time I look at those scars, I go back and I thought, oh, I remember what I did. And when you have a scar, and they were dumb things, I won't tell you now, but privately, if you want to know, I'll tell you. But every time I look at them, you see, but through life's journey, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when you feel like the overwhelming odds, when you feel like this is it, this is the big one, and you're just faced with that, you got to go back and look at the scars. Don't be ashamed of them. Look at the scars. God, I remember back in so-and-so when I lost my job, when my wife left me, when that brother that I trusted or that sister that I trusted, they turned their back on me. I look back. You saw me through that. You healed me through that. And God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you're going to heal me through this. And I'm going to be better off. Someone ought to give God praise. I want our worship team to come on back. You see, this message is not designed just to be a good message. It's not designed for me just it to happen up here. It's to happen in your heart. And I purposed and I prayed and I said, God, I want this day to be a day of healing for people. Because you see, all of us have faced hurts. All of us have been wounded by life. All of us have been disappointed. And guess what? It's going to happen again. But your God is bigger. He's bigger than the wound. He's bigger than the disappointment. He's bigger than the discouragement. He's bigger than that person who's tried to take you down. And yet, yeah, he's bigger than the enemy. The enemy has no authority over Jesus. He is a created being. He is not the creator. He doesn't have the ultimate say in your life. God does. And you need to turn to him right now. Everyone in here. I don't care who you are. I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. Listen, don't let the enemy keep on tormenting you. Don't let that wound or hurt or whatever it might be keep you back from what God has. God wants your night to become like day. He wants your days to be brighter than they've ever been. You could walk out of here and your day will be brighter. You'll shine more. You'll have more of an abundant life, more joy in your life. He wants to restore to you the awe, the wonder. He wants to restore to you the full worship and witness and the power to war. I want you to stand, if you will, please.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.